We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Sammy Hagar is your artist of the day.
I liked that song until it got too hard. That was great. And then, you know, yeah.
And then it just got too hard.
I know.
Will Stair filling in for Dana Wright. She is a little bit under the weather today.
It went past the journey line.
Right, of course it did. By the way, heard the Heart concert last night was fantastic.
I swear everyone I know was there. It was all over my Facebook, my Twitter. Yep. Everyone I think was at Heart and Joan Jett last night.
By the way, would any of you care to guess what the most popular vegetable in America is?
Brussels sprouts.
No, popular. Think.
Since we hate our leafy greens, I'm going to guess it's none of those and go with corn.
Corn is the number one.
Because it's really a starch more so than a vegetable.
It's the most
isn't it?
Popular vegetable in America. Mm-hmm. And by the way, a new survey finds that a quarter of Americans have never eaten a vegetable.
Wait,
what? Ever?
I find that hard to believe.
I mean, I'd get it if we're talking about in adulthood. Like you move out of the house, your parents shoved vegetables down your throat all your life. Mm-hmm. Now that you're free and on your own, you don't eat vegetables anymore. Especially, have you seen the size of us as a collective lately? I would be on board with that. And yes, I am right there in the middle of that.
But you've lost some weight.
I have lost some weight, but I also packed a lot of it on by not eating vegetables.
How much have you lost?
I've gone back up a little bit, but from my peak, I'm off 37 pounds.
That's great, man.
Thank you. Long, long way to go.
Good for but, you. How far do you want to go?
Ideally, I'd like to lose 150.
150 pounds?
150 pounds.
And you're 37 pounds in?
Yes.
Okay.
So I...
One-fifth of the way there?
Yeah.
Thanks, Sam.
Quick math.
I mean, not entirely accurate maths, but close enough.
Potatoes, by the way, number two most favorite. Carrots, number three.
We like our potatoes when they're fried and or coated with sour cream and butter.
Green beans, cucumbers, and broccoli. Care to guess the most hated vegetables in America?
Kale. Ooh, I know. It's got to be kale.
Kale didn't make the list at all.
Brussels sprouts.
Brussels sprouts is the fourth most hated, yes.
Ooh.
Turnip is number one. Turnip.
Turnip?
What about beets?
Beets is number two.
As far as hated?
I love beets.
I like beets, too.
I had never eaten a beet until about 2 months ago. Ever.
When Julie made you eat one?
Basically. Well, I mentioned it because we were at dinner. We'd gone to the salad bar, and we're back at the table. She has all these beets on her plate. And talks about how much she likes them and, you know, how much the kids like them and all that. And I say, I don't think I've ever eaten one. And without saying another word, she just stabbed one with her fork and put it on my plate. It was not bad.
Is okra on that list anywhere?
No.
Only if it's fried do we want to eat that.
Radish, by the way, is the third most hated. I like radishes, too.
Me, too. I guess we're weird.
I don't mind it in my salad.
I was going to say, I don't think I've ever just, like, eaten a radish. It's usually chopped up and thrown on a salad or something of that sort. Do you like sit there with a...
Well, I could just eat a rat like...
Oh, okay.
Like an apple?
Yeah.
I don't understand people that can do that with onions.
Oh, no.
I know people...
No, that's gross.
I know people that'll just bite into an onion like it's an apple. Like I can't
Shrek?
Do that.
No. That's not normal. That's when you need to be taken out back and beaten.
Wow. That escalated very quickly.
Beaten.
Timeout till at least 3:15.
3:15. That's 3.5 minutes. You're really cracking the whip today.
You're in timeout. Don't you talk. You're in timeout. Squash is on there, zucchini, mushrooms, and asparagus.
I get mushrooms because a lot of people cannot handle the texture.
I had mushrooms for lunch.
Weird. It's like a sponge.
I like mushrooms.
It's more like a fungus.
I like mushrooms. I get why people don't, because they can, especially if they've been cooked, be a little slimy.
Can we lose, and I know I've talked about this before, though, with you morel mushroom peoples, can we lose the mushroom hunter thing? You're not hunting a mushroom.
What, just because you don't shoot it?
No, because it doesn't move.
Okay.
You graze for mushrooms.
I would think you don't hunt corn if you're a farmer.
Well, but it's a scavenger hunt.
Yeah. I mean, when we're doing scavenger hunts, we're not going to kill anything.
The items that we take in a scavenger hunt aren't moving.
It's planted. You hunt a deer because a deer can move.
Right.
You can't hunt something that doesn't move.
But the mushrooms are in the wild. It's not like, to use your corn example, like the farmer, unless he has severe mental issues, knows where the corn is because he's the one who put it there.
So if I'm walking through a field in...
The mushrooms grow wild.
I understand. If I'm walking through a field in Florida and I stumble upon an orange tree, did I hunt that orange or did I pick that orange?
Well, you just said you stumbled upon it, so you weren't searching.
You weren't
for
looking
it.
For it, yeah.
Oh my god!
The people who look for the morel mushrooms are, you know, they're mushroom hunting.
They're on the hunt. They're searching for it.
It's because they've gone looking for it.
Thank you, text line. It's called foraging.
Excuse me, you're in timeout.
And am I about to be?
I'm thinking about it.
Dispensed a timeout. Do I need to go sit in the corner over here? Because that would bring back wonderful memories of my childhood.
Sam just violently threw up his headphones.
I can go stick my nose in the corner and spend some time there, just like I spent many of my single-digit years.
From the text line, it's called foraging. You're a mushroom forager.
Yeah, it doesn't sound as good.
That's what I said before you yelled at me for being in timeout.
I thought foraging was... the act of eating it.
No, to forage means to look for. To
Yeah, but don't you eat it like as soon as you get... Like if an animal is foraging for food, it finds the food and then consumes it right there.
Somebody on the text line points out, treasures don't move either, Scott, and you're a treasure hunter.
Okay,
all right. Easter eggs don't move, and you go hunting for Easter eggs.
That is true. Side note, is it weird for adults to hunt for Easter eggs amongst themselves?
Well, it depends on what's in them.
Okay.
What's in them?
Well, what if there's money?
Yeah. Money, airplane bottles of booze, those sorts of things. I mean...
I've never heard of anybody putting booze inside of an Easter egg.
Oh, are you kidding me?
No.
I know some friends who... I have some friends who are very big into... the beer scene. They're always trying new different kinds. They actually did an Easter egg hunt where instead of the eggs, they just hid all these various different beers all over the yard and okay, go have fun. Nothing.
See you at a meeting.
I don't think they have a problem. I think they're enthusiasts.
I see. 5767798. We'll stare at Rebecca Crockett, Sam Stevie. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ.
I was sitting there selling turnips on a flatbed truck, crunching on a pork rind when she pulled up. She had to be thinking this is where it next come from.
Story here from Fox 4. So you know it's true. Residents have called one set of Midtown condominiums disgusting. However, the owner of the Park Reserve condo says he sees nothing wrong with them. On Tuesday, that owner got a surprise visit from inspectors and a police tactical squad. One officer emerged from the building which is the former Trinity Lutheran Hospital, saying it was the most unsanitary place that he had ever seen. Residents want something done. The property's developer said he's not to blame. Quoting here from Alex Malloy, a resident at Park Reserve, "It's just destroyed. It is absolutely treacherous." Says he's called police 20 times. Malloy said he bought his condo nearly 3 years ago, and he watched the property decline into ruin ever since. Photos provided by Malloy confirm what police said they did find. Medical equipment still from the old hospital. Human and animal filth is everywhere. Used syringes can be found in the hallways.
What?
Elevator shafts are filled with stagnant water. Quoting here from Malloy again, "When I first moved in here, there weren't even walls separating terminal filth, the old abandoned hospital, from the house. We had homeless people come up to our door day and night." Now, I am not going to defend a delinquent landlord. I'm not.
I think I know the question that's coming.
And I am sure we're going to get story after story of, oh my God, you're not going to believe the kind of conditions that I lived in when I was 25 years old, or my landlord never responded to this or that. But I want to go back to that statement that he just said. "When I first moved in here, there weren't even walls. We had homeless people come up to our door day and night."
How do you move into a place like that, seeing that it's in that condition, when you're in the process of moving in?
Mr. Malloy, I understand you may not be wealthy, but why would you move into a place that you knew was like that? I'm not saying the landlord does not bear some responsibility here, because of course he does.
He bears a lot of responsibility here.
But don't you also bear some responsibility when you willingly and knowingly move into an apartment that is filth? Isn't a little bit of this, Mr. Malloy, with all due respect, on you?
It's another thing when you move into a place and then it goes downhill.
Sure, of course.
I can understand that. But this guy tells you up front, it was like that when I got here and I still moved in. Now, I understand your point that you made there. The guy may not be made of money, but I'd have to think he could do better than that. Regardless of what the budget is, there's got to be something better than that.
Telephone number here is always 576-7798. 576-7798. Somebody writes in, "What about situations with rent control laws, Scott? It ties the landlord's hands as to how much money is available for repairs." Correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm not aware of it, but if I'm wrong, I will freely admit it. I don't believe Kansas City has rent control.
We do not. Rent control is banned statewide.
So there, if you have, let's say you have a rental house like I used to at 15th and Poplar, in just east of downtown, I used to rent that house out for, I think, $550 a month. There was no law that would prevent me from renting it out, if anybody was stupid enough, for $1,500 a month or $2,000 a month.
If you can get it, take it, right?
I couldn't get it, so I didn't take it.
Right. But if you could, you'd have done it.
But if this building was a disaster, Mr. Malloy, 3 years ago, again, with all respect, why did you move in? I understand that other cities like San Francisco and New York, thank you, Texter, have rent control. We don't have rent control in Kansas City. There is no excuse for this building being in such disrepair. 576-7798. Aaron, what up?
Hey, guys. So currently, I am working right around the corner from this building. It is right next to the Fed. So it's Liberty Memorial, the Fed, Federal Reserve, and then this building. And so I drive past it daily currently. And so it is in a state of disrepair. It is a dangerous building, and the city ought to deem it that way and just tear the whole thing down. So what I think happened and why these people moved in is they were probably promised a bill of good, allegedly, were promised a bill of good that they were going to fill in all of the building. And so they moved in under construction. And so that's why it didn't have walls and whatnot when those people moved in. So they probably finished 5, 6, 7 apartments and then said, hey, move in. We'll give you a great deal. We'll go ahead and get, you know, occupancy and keep working on it. Well,
But Aaron, in the interest of brevity, because we got to get to the news, most leases are for a year. After a year, Mr. Malloy would have to know this isn't working out. I'm out. He says he's lived there for 3 years.
Doesn't it say it's a condo?
Yes, you're right. I stand corrected. You're right. He probably bought it. You're right.
Hey, have a good day, guys.
All right, you too. Good point. Thank you for putting me in check. Yeah, somebody in the text line has a good point. I'm in the construction business, and every building, every house has to be up to code in Kansas and Kansas City, Missouri. I don't understand how the city, if this building in Midtown is as bad as Fox 4 in their story described it, how this building has not been condemned. There are human feces, animal feces, standing water at the base of the elevator. How is it that this is even habitable?
As I understand, this is a building that's in the process of being rehabbed, converted to condos, and...
Yes, it's a former hospital.
So, is it, and I'm asking this because I genuinely don't know the answer, is it possible then that part of the building, the part that is going to be inhabited, could be up to code, and therefore they'd be allowed to move into that part while the rest of it still isn't done?
The answer to that, I don't know. But we do.
That's the only thing that I'm thinking could have led to this scenario.
It's called the Park Reserve. It's in Midtown, Park Reserve Condos. And one of the residents who's lived there for apparently 3 years, Alex Malloy, says, quote, it's just destroyed. It is absolutely treacherous. Now, somebody wrote in, I know Alex, and you keep calling Alex poor. Those condos are $2,000. He's a client of mine. He is not poor. Let me be clear. We don't know Alex either, or we don't know Alex. And we said we don't know if he is poor or not, but there must be better alternatives for Alex Malloy. I don't know Alex from Adam.
Yeah. Even if your budget is extremely low, you'd have to think there's a better option than that.
Yeah. 576-7798. I mean, why would you, and Alex, I don't know if you're listening or if maybe you're a friend here who says you're a client of his, maybe you can call in. Why would you move into that condominium in the first place when it wasn't finished? You said when you moved in, it was a mess. That's what you said in this story in Fox News, unless they're reporting it wrong. And I don't think they are, but maybe they are. I don't know. 576-7798. Joseph in Kansas City. Hello, Joseph.
Hey, how are you?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Good. Hey, I'm a real estate agent in Kansas City, and so those are condos. And I remember when they first opened them up as condos, they were kind of a construction mess, like a lot of new construction condos were back in the day. So you'd go in and they'd have one or two units really polished out and clean, and then they would have all these design boards and all that stuff with all the ideas of what was going to happen with the place. And so then you'd buy into it, you'd move in, and I think the developer just kind of put up the white flag at some point and never finished the project, even though people had bought in. So I think that's probably why some people are just stuck there. They can't sell it. They can't get out of it with it like that, but they own it.
Why can't you sue the developer?
Well, I would. But, yeah, I mean, if the developer's broke, are you going to get anything out of him? I just think it's kind of a sad situation.
All right, my friend. Hey, do appreciate you calling in. Larry in Kansas City. Larry, good afternoon. Larry, hello. Larry once. Jesse in Overland Park. Hello, Jesse.
Hey, how's it going, Scott?
It's going well. Thank you for asking.
You're talking about how if it's still being renovated, why would you move into it? Well, the job site we're on right now, as soon as they get like one section done, the five floors that the building is, they open it up for people to move in, and we just keep working in the other sections. They divide it into three, so that may be what's happening out there. They get one done and passed code and whatever, and okay, they can move in, and that's what goes on. It happens a lot of these buildings we work on.
Well, but then why would Mr. Malloy in this story in Fox 4 say that it is a disaster, it is destroyed? Wow. If his portion of the building that he presumably bought in on was finished, it wouldn't be a disaster. It wouldn't be destroyed.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't seen that story yet, but plan on looking at it when I get home.
All right, man. Hey, do appreciate
the call.
All right, you take care too. 576-7798. 576-7798.
I've been familiar with these instances where you can move in, but normally the building as a whole is in a lot better shape than that. Even if it's not, if the build out isn't done in a certain part, if it's,
sure,
you know, in the process of being worked on, usually you don't have human feces and elevator shafts full of water too. So that's my whole thing with it is it seems like the building was a lot further gone than most circumstances.
Would you buy a condominium and somebody says, just stop paying the rent? Well, these people have bought.
Right.
Is the impression I get when I read this story. Would you buy a condominium in a building that wasn't finished?
It depends on the state of the rest of the building. If it was a situation where an old building is being rehabbed, probably not. If it's a new or newer building, you know, mm-hmm. let's say that it just hasn't been finished out yet, and it's four walls aside from the parts that have been built, yeah, I'd probably be okay buying into that.
My mother bought a townhouse in a development that was not fully finished when she bought it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they continued to build and build and build for years.
Sure.
But the building and her townhouse is one of four in...
So it's a fourplex.
Yeah, I guess. That's probably the best way to put it. But that fourplex was finished
mm-hmm.
when she bought it.
Didn't right.
mean to go all Italian on you there. But it was finished when she bought it. It wasn't like the house on the other side or the townhouse on the other side had human feces
right.
and syringes and standing water in it.
And I will say this too. I think it's a good thing that we are trying to repurpose some of these old buildings.
Agreed.
Instead of tearing them down. But this one is obviously a much bigger mountain to climb than a lot of others.
576-7798. Mike in Topeka. Mike, good afternoon.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well.
So I don't know how condos work in terms of when you buy them, but I know like when we bought our house, we got a home inspection, you know, for the plumbing and electrical and various things. So we knew what we were getting into when we bought the house. So I'm wondering, you know, if someone buys a condo, do they not do the same thing?
And that's a good question, because do you know who requires that inspection?
No.
The bank.
I was going to say it's the lender that does it, yeah?
Yeah, because they want to know that whatever you're buying is actually, you know, if for whatever reason you fall behind on your mortgage, that they can turn around and sell that mm-hmm. and get their money back.
So obviously these people, this Alex Malloy or whoever in the story, unless he had so much freestanding cash, probably had to borrow money, or at least somebody, right. Not everybody was just offering up cash on these condominiums. Where was the inspection? Where was the inspector who said, bank, I wouldn't loan these guys a dime. There's poop everywhere. There's standing water in the elevator yeah. shaft. New.
Yeah, absolutely. And even if you had the money to just pay for it outright, why wouldn't you do it just for your own peace of mind? So you know that you're mm-hmm. getting a good, clean living space.
Mm-hmm. Mike, that's a great point. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, I think the issue isn't the fact that the building wasn't done. The issue is how bad a condition the building was in before this work started, and apparently the cleanup has not been what would be necessary.
All right, you guys are apparently smarter than I am. Several people are writing in saying lenders do not require the inspection. Then who does? Because I know for a fact, when I bought my house in Roland Park 10 years ago, I don't know if that helps you with your bingo card.
I'm not playing today.
Okay. When I bought my house in Roland Park, we had to have an inspection. I didn't ask for it. That was money at the time I didn't have. So who requires the inspection?
A lot of times I'm wondering if the inspection and the appraisal aren't rolled together, because I do know the lenders, even if they don't want the inspection, they do want the appraisal. And so I don't know, because I've not been through this before. I've never bought a home, but it would seem as though you could, those two things are very close together. You could probably roll them into one.
Telephone number here is 576-7798.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring, bound by wild desire. I fell into a ring of fire.
Let's get to the phones.
I fell into a
Scott on line two. Scott, good afternoon. Hello, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, how are you?
Well, we're doing well. Thank you for asking.
Hey, the thing on a major remodel, because that's what that probably was, mm-hmm. I would guess, if it was sold.
Well, it was a it was a hospital before they were turning it into condos. So, yeah, that's pretty major remodeling and development, yeah.
So they had to pull a permit with the city.
Mm-hmm.
So that permit lasts X amount of time, I'd guess probably whatever the project, what they thought the project was going to last, but those things do have an end date on them. And before you can move into something like that, you have to have a certificate of occupancy. So if it was me, I'd go back to the city and see, you know, did the guy pull the permits? Did you understand what I'm saying?
Basically, were all of the I's dotted and T's crossed on it?
Right. If it's been 3 years, I would guess that the permit probably ran out after the first year.
So is there no recourse for somebody who bought in early?
Well, the certificate of occupancy would be issued by the city. That means the building has been inspected and been found, you know, fire codes, plumbing codes, electrical codes, everything's been met. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I personally don't know of any, you know, any permit that's open-ended that just goes on and on forever.
Mm-hmm.
And those buildings periodically have to have inspections, so.
Apparently not.
I was going to say.
Dana Truman. Hello,
yes,
Dana.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Well, we're doing well. Thank you.
I was just commenting on, you said that most home loans require an inspection.
Yeah, apparently I'm wrong about that.
No, my husband's in finance, actually, which I kind of was like, oh, I get it. I understand where most people get confused on that. The thing is, a home loan's going to require you to have an appraiser come out and appraise the home to ensure the value of the home that the bank's going to lend money on.
So then why do I get an inspection on my home? Because I was told you have to have an inspection, and I was there when the guy came over to do the inspection on my house.
An inspection is for the buyer's knowledge. So you bring in your inspector you can even bring in one for fireplaces, like a plumbing inspection. You can inspect any and all parts of the home for your knowledge. So you could go back to the seller and say, like, hey, your plumbing's kind of raggedy, or hey, your foundation's a little cracked. And that could be a negotiation point. The bank really doesn't care as long as the value of the home as it is. Is worth lending the money on.
Are the appraisal and the inspection done usually by two different people, two different times, or is it something that you could roll together into one and, hey, this guy's going to come do the appraisal and inspection?
Oh, I've never heard of an appraiser and an inspector being the same person.
Okay. All right.
Usually the bank gets the inspector, or the appraiser is ordered through the finance company.
Got it.
And it's an independent third party. A lot of banks don't even get to choose. Like, oh, I want John to come inspect or appraise the home because he's a really good appraiser and he's going to give us the value. They do an independent appraisal of the home to ensure the value is fair.
Gotcha.
All right. Hey, Dana, do appreciate the call. Let's go to Ty in Overland Park. Hey, hang on just a second. Let me give the phone number out. 576-7798. Ty, it's going well. Thank you for asking.
Awesome. Yeah, like your last caller, I agree as well. Also, too, something to think about is, you know, generally with the buyer, their homeowner's insurance or the titling company will ask whether or not the home has been, you know, inspected as well. Because that's kind of like an investment for them. So they want to make sure that the home is checked out, doesn't have, you know, roof damage or foundation, you know, damage or something like that. So.
Got it. So the inspection is for insurance and title purposes, perhaps. And that may be why you had to get your inspection, Scott. Okay. This is all way above my pay grade because I've never been down this road.
Are you never going to buy a house?
No, I probably will at some point, but I haven't done it up to this.
You're a vagabond.
I know. I really wish I could turn that off. It's a lot better than it used to be. I've been back in Kansas City for 2.5 years now, and I'm not sitting here screaming to get out of town, whereas
What was your deal? And I'm not making fun of you.
No, you're good.
Nor picking on you. But I remember when you first came here,
mm-hmm.
and I thought everything was going really well, and then all of a sudden you just picked up and moved to Colby, Kansas.
Yeah, that was because...
Population 5,000.
I was starting my business, and I had some freelance work that I was doing. I'd crunched the numbers and arrived at the conclusion that if I moved to Colby, Kansas, where the cost of living was lower, I could afford to quit my job here, start my business, and live off my freelance money. The thing that I did not take into account in doing that was that travel and other business expenditures would basically eat up any difference that I gained by going out there.
Did you like it out there?
Yeah. I have a real strong small town streak. Very strong. And that's something that surprises even me.
Does it bother you being in a big city drive you crazy or something?
No, it doesn't drive me crazy.
I'm looking at the map. Colby, Kansas is like in the middle of nowhere.
It is. And honestly, I'll tell you, the isolation of it eventually got to me. It wasn't the fact that I was living in a town of 5,400 people. It's the fact that I was living in a town of 5,400 people that was the biggest thing in a 100-mile radius.
Don't they only have the issue. An auto body shop and a motel?
No, they got actually a lot more than that.
You got a McDonald's?
Yeah, oh yeah. It's dubbed as the Oasis on the Plains.
Give me a break.
And as such, it has a lot of amenities that you would only expect to be in much larger places. It's the only town of 5,400 that I've ever seen that had a Starbucks and a Famous Footwear.
Oh, wow.
Oh, they have a Starbucks?
Yeah.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Had a Qdoba. Had a bunch of other things.
Yeah, that is the Oasis on the Plains.
Exactly, because you're in the middle of nowhere on the interstate.
Sounds like hell.
It is not for everybody. I loved it. I had the best, the absolute best landlords while I was there. Most of the people I was around out there were great. But coming back to Kansas City was the right move when I made it, and here I am. And you're stuck with me.
Glad to have you.
We're glad to have you.
Thank you.
They've actually had several famous people from there.
Really?
Yes.
But didn't they have like a contemporary Christian singer from there?
Schultz.
Mark Schultz, yeah.
Mike Hayden, the former governor's from there.
Mm-hmm.
Sheila Fromm, the former U.S. senator's from there. Wayne Munn, the professional wrestler, is from there. Come on!
The thing about Colby, Kansas is it's like so many other towns that you drive through on the interstate. You get an impression of it from the interstate that is totally different from what happens when you actually get off the highway and go into town and you realize, hey, this is a nice little town here. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.